Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Tuesday, September the 5th, 2023. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Fred Jackson and Steve Paisley. Jordahl joined us. Good morning, Steve.
Wait, it's Tuesday?
Oh, yeah, man, I got it confused this morning, too.
Got to get put my trash out then, because, man, I thought it was Monday.
Are you supposed to put your garbage out on Monday?
No, I'm so mixed up with what day it is, I don't know.
What day do you put your trash out?
Wednesday night.
Oh, you still got time.
I do, but it's coming. It's coming quicker than I thought. No.
Listen, Armageddon may be ushered in sooner than we think.
Boy, you are Debbie Downer today.
Let me just say that Duke University beat Clemson in football last night.
And hello, they're Blue Devils.
There you go.
No, just saying.
So the Blue Devils did the 1 in 100.
Number 9, Clemson.
They beat Clemson last night.
It was not a close game.
No, it was for a while. It was, yeah, but...
Was it 28-3 or something?
If you look in the book of Revelation, chapter 6...
28-7.
It insinuates that Duke will beat Clemson, and thus the end is near. Now, do you believe that theology, Ed?
I don't. Just going to be honest.
Might be in there somewhere. I haven't read it yet.
Anyway, congratulations to Duke, an unranked team, which nobody gave a chance to beat Clemson. Clemson's a perennial top five team, and they knocked them off pretty convincingly last night, 28-7. I watched that game. That was in Durham, North Carolina. Anyway, college football is here.
Colorado Buffs beat the TCU Horned Frogs.
Yeah.
TCU was in the national championship game last year. Colorado unranked. TCU ranked, I think it was number 9.
Well, it was the debut of Deion Sanders.
Coach Prime.
He kept receipts. That's what he kept saying.
Man, he said we're coming. And he's got a kind of an unorthodox coaching style, I guess. But his team just did not quit. Now, that was a close game. It was a good game. All the way down to the end, mm-hmm. They won 45-42.
And let me just also say, for everyone else out there, 11 days, September 16th, NHL training camp. So hockey season training camp starts.
Let me write that down.
Yes, write that down.
September 16th.
Yeah.
We got what starting now?
Training camp.
Oh, NHL. Hey, hockey's a much beloved sport by millions of Americans and Canadians.
And here. People yes. in Europe, absolutely.
But I got to tell you, I did not know September 16th was the opening of training.
That's what I'm here for, Tim.
Fred, did you know this?
Yeah, I thought it was a little earlier than that.
I had to look it up. I'm going to be honest.
Yes.
NFL starts Thursday, and that's what? It's in 2 days.
The NFL starts?
Oh, that's right. They have a September 7th.
Yeah, thing. not 3 days. 2 days.
2 days.
All right, go, Steve.
All right. Let us talk about a bill in California. You guys have noticed, have you seen the crime that's going on in California? Businesses pulling out of the state because they just cannot do business there. Well, some senators in California, in the state Senate, decided they wanted to do something about it. So they put together Senate Bill 553. Senate Bill 553 is a bill that says that companies have to have crime prevention issues documented, and you have to train your employees on what to do when crime comes. Now, what this does actually is it says that you cannot stop looters or burglars or shoplifters. If you do, the state will fine you $18,000 if you intervene.
What?
That's what the bill says. Senate Bill 553. What it is supposed to be doing is supposed to be saying we don't want to put store employees in danger by confronting dangerous people,
right?
But what it does is it gives every business owners are coming out opposing this because it says you're just, yeah, you gotta train your people on crime prevention, but they can't intervene. They can't even pretend to intervene. And why not just open the door and unlock everything and walk away?
Yeah, so employees are going to be trained. May I help you?
Exactly.
Yeah, those persons right over there.
Can I help you carry these out?
That's right. Open the door for you?
Listen, I don't. This is the problem with ever expanding government reach. To me, this is not a government issue. Now, I have full sympathy with corporations, businesses, even mom and pop stores who say, listen, if someone comes in here to steal, I don't want you getting hurt.
Right.
Just call the police. Your job is not to. That should be a store policy, not a government policy, because the government is saying you can't do it or we fine you. Right.
It would. What it does is it would prohibit employers from maintaining policies. It says that require employees to confront active shooters. Nobody is requiring or shoplifters. But it prohibits them from doing that. Now, yes, you're gonna. I mean, businesses are just completely at the mercy of these people.
Defenseless.
But you can't call the police anymore. The police are not responding to these things. There's not enough police officers to go around in California. What is it? $999 in some. I think of San Francisco,
right.
Some places. If you
won't be prosecuted.
Steal up to that. Don't bother calling the cops.
So well, I'll tell you. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say. So what are these criminals doing? Do they have a calculator and go? All right, we're at $850. We're good. We can walk out. We won't be prosecuted.
They have a shoplifting scanning machine. at a lot of stores now.
I'll bet it's self checkout.
You know, right, I heard of a store that marked every single item from toothbrushes to TVs at $1,000. You get the discount at the register when you buy it.
Hey, listen,
oh, that's interesting.
This is in all seriousness, and this is a serious matter. We are having we may be on the front end of this. I'm talking about shoplifting affecting us all, not just the stores, but the cost of product.
Absolutely.
According, this is in, and I read this several news sources, but I just got this one off the New York Post from 4 days ago. Dollar General's shares tanked Thursday, like in last Thursday, after the discounter provided a bleak outlook for the rest of the year because of rising thefts.
Yep.
And weak consumer demand at its 19,000 stores. The Tennessee-based company warned Wall Street that profits may plunge as much as 34% compared to its previous forecast for an 8% decline. Dick's Sporting Goods also reporting a big problem with shoplifting, stealing from the stores.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that goes along with your point, Steve. The store employees and almost all stores are told to do as you say.
Yeah.
And for understandable reasons, they're told not to do anything, to intervene, physically intervene, because they may be hurt.
Right.
Right? And they
could turn around and sue the store.
Yeah, the stores don't want their employees hurt.
Right.
Right? And then you've got some stores have security guards, but they're most of the time they're worthless. Not as human beings.
Right.
But
they're not allowed to do.
But if they even carry a gun, they just walk around in a uniform, and that is a mental intimidation against shoplifting and
some deterrent to some degree.
But they're not allowed to do anything. So you call cops, well, they get there 10 minutes later. Well, the shoplifting's already be done. It's already been done.
Mm-hmm.
Add all that. In these blue states and blue cities where crime is the worst in America today is you get district attorneys and prosecutors who don't believe in prosecuting crime.
Right.
Well, there's no penalty for these people, even for violent crimes.
They're just not going to prosecute them.
and certainly for shoplifting. So what happens in the end, if you have shoplifting increasing, even in Dollar Generals, then prices go up for law-abiding citizens.
Yeah, all across the country.
But here's the thing. You know, we're talking about the big guys, the Nordstrom's, Dollar General, whatever the case may be. But you got the mom-and-pop places. And we've seen a couple of incidents in the last year what the mom-and-pop businesses do.
Yeah.
They take matters into their own hands.
Yeah.
They don't let these people just walk out the door. And I think you're going to see more and more of this. Now, the police say, don't do that. But when you talk mom-and-pop businesses, you're talking about very small profit margins.
Right.
And if they take off with $300, $400 worth of stuff, that's their profit for that day or for two or three days.
Right.
For that family. And so they're not going to put up with this. And I'm afraid you're going to see more and more of this.
Well, in San Francisco, it's destroying the city. I mean, if you read about San Francisco, and I've never been there, but...
I have.
Okay. Well, you grew up near there, right?
Gorgeous city. Such a beautiful place. Okay, but it's so sad to see what's going on.
The business district used to be vibrant.
Oh, yeah.
Downtown, and now it's being
Market Street.
Shut down.
And homeless.
Because
homeless
of crime people. And homelessness. And
drug abuse.
Here's the other part of this equation is the police resources, if they say they respond 10 minutes late or so, they sometimes don't have enough to respond. Austin, Texas is saying they have, I'm looking at a little picture that they put out on their Twitter feed. Did you get robbed on your way back from an ATM or a bank? If you did, call 311 or make an online report. Leave us a message and mention in your report that you were coming from a bank when the crime was committed. Include the time and date of your withdrawal of the money, how much they got. Doesn't even say to give a description of the person. But if you are held up at gunpoint, the Austin police want you to leave them a message so they can get around to
it. Well, but they vote for this stuff in Austin.
Yeah.
It's a flaming liberal city.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do anything.
Deep in
about
the heart of Texas.
Huh? Well, it is. Texas is a conservative state.
Right.
But they got their pockets, especially Austin, a very liberal
college town.
Yeah. Yeah. And seat of state politics.
Yeah.
And so. But this is what lawlessness takes over when you don't punish crime.
That's right.
And let's not forget, part of the issue here has been that in a lot of these blue cities, all these cries for defund the police, you had city administrations, mayors and city councils who are anti-police, and you had all sorts of cops all over the country in these big cities leaving, retiring. So you have fewer cops able to do the job that is now being required with exploding crime.
And the ones who are left, who are the new recruits that they can get in to these big cities, they're inexperienced.
Right.
And you know, inexperience in any vocation leads to big mistakes oftentimes.
Yeah. Here's we talk about the big cities, but Steve is working on a story right now for small towns and cities are eliminating their police forces.
Yeah.
They can't afford them anymore. So they're turning over to state police and to county sheriffs. So the local police departments, there's one story where the chief of police quit the other day with the other members of the police force. So you have small towns and cities out there with no police force whatsoever.
The complete and total overreaction to the George Floyd incident.
Yes.
As terrible as it was, that was with that man. I say terrible. What I mean was we saw the video of the sitting on his neck for, 11 minutes or something like that? The knee on the neck. That imagery, too, was, but the overreaction to that was as if there was a big problem with this kind of behavior all over America. So we're going to defund the police, which is just insane. But the liberal politicians, especially in these big cities, they wouldn't stand up and say, no, defund the police, it's the last thing we want to do.
Right.
Don't want our police officers engaging in activity that's illegal.
Right.
are provocative, but we're not going to, we can't defund the police. But a lot of these places, remember, they bought into it.
Yep.
Like Austin, they bought into it. Defund the
Portland,
the
Seattle, all these.
So now they're reaping the consequences.
Right.
It's kind of hard to feel sorry for
them. I don't.
I mean, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead,
Steve. All right. The president, our president, was having a hard time figuring out where to go on vacation this last week because, well, I'll let you explain. He was.
You let me explain?
No. I'll let him explain. He was.
You just did what you're accusing him of doing.
I know, right?
Huh?
He was in Delaware, which is his house is, where his summer home is, whatever.
His beach house.
His beach house. But he was very quick to tell the people there that he wasn't on vacation, but he just didn't have anywhere to go. He didn't know where to live. Listen to Cut 10.
The reason I'm here today, just for one day, I know I'm on vacation. I'm not. I have no home to go to. The Secret Service has torn my house up in a good way to make it secure. So I have no place to go when I come to Delaware except here right now. I'm only here for one day.
Are you homeless?
No, I'm not homeless. I just have one home. I have a beautiful home, but I'm down here for the day because I can't go home.
Has nowhere to go. He's forgetting about a big white house in Washington, D.C. that he could be going to or staying at.
Yeah, that was kind of an odd exchange. The president has a residence on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
That's right.
So he does have a place to go.
Yeah, but he'd rather go to his beach home, and who wouldn't?
Right.
I saw somewhere where he has spent almost a year in his first half of his time on vacation somewhere.
That hot? That
I mean,
much?
It's a lot.
Listen, it's been that way since Obama was in office, and maybe Bush. I can't remember. George W. Bush.
I don't want to be accused of being Ed here and being liberal, but I will say in his defense, the president really never does go on vacation. The football follows him wherever he's at. The problems find him no matter where he's at. If he's on the beach and has to make an executive decision as president, they'll find him, and he still has to work.
What a communist you are, Steve. You're beyond liberal.
Yeah, totally.
Trying to be reasonable about the vacation habits of presidents.
He's from California.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's laid back, man. He's Beach Boys stuff. That's what he believes in.
Beach Boys.
So, I'm Tim Wildman with Evan Tagliano, Fred Jackson, and Steve Jordahl. Yeah, you know, Bush went on, he took a lot of breaks. Obama went to Hawaii, 2 weeks at the end of the year, 3 weeks? One time he went to Hawaii and flew all the way back for a
meeting.
A meeting, and then all the way back to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Trump was, you know, granted, Trump played on his own golf courses.
Right.
But these guys, it kind of don't blame them. What are they supposed to do? Unless they're, quote, working with Congress or having meetings with dignitaries.
Right.
As glamorous as the White House is.
Right.
It's basically you're just trapped there.
It's not really your home.
It's not really your home.
Yeah.
It's not really your home. So why wouldn't you want to go to your house?
Right.
If you got a beach house, who is?
I'd be there.
Yeah, there you go.
According to the Daily Mail, since taking office, Biden has spent 360 days on vacation. It's 39% of his presidency.
What are you going to do? Somebody going to impeach him over
half of the rest of the time, he's taking naps.
Huh?
I'd like to know how much time he's spent eating ice cream.
Well, if he's on vacation, it kind of does limit the amount of harm he can do to the country. I'm just saying.
What are you saying? Right.
I'm just saying.
What else you got?
All right. This is Dateline Colorado, Jefferson County, Colorado, which is the Denver, the county that Denver's in. And their school system, their school union, the Jeffco Student Union Educational Association, has told its teachers, if they are counseling their students about transgender issues, make sure that you put it on a paper. Don't type it into any electronics. Put it on a piece of paper that you can throw away because, well, parents can demand records, so don't keep a record because you need to keep it from their parents.
This is the mentality of the far left in a lot of blue cities and blue states when it comes to this transgender ideology and this movement, which is anti-parent as well as anti-student in terms of getting them the real truth or the real science, getting them the help they need. This is outrageous. A teachers union, it's the teachers union, right?
Jefferson County Education
recommending the teachers not only keep the truth regarding kids from the parents, but then also finding ways to hide documents so if parents request documentation, they can destroy the records.
The email said, if you do a questionnaire, please make it paper and pencil activity. Any digital records are more permanent and may be requested under federal law.
These teachers' unions should be broken. And it's probably impossible to break those teachers' unions. The only real solution is school choice. That would break the hold of them. But that should be, I don't know if that's criminal, but it should be close to it.
Listen, if you're going to have a union, like a teachers' union, all they should be doing is negotiating salaries and benefits
right
for their members. They should not be getting involved in left-wing politics.
Oh, right. They're huh? all about that, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. No wonder they're discredited
right
by most Americans today, because you go what business is it of a teachers' union to try to get between parents and their children
right
on something like transgenderism?
Yeah.
They take sides on this.
Right.
So now I will say this, that like that lawsuit that happened that we reported on last week in California, where a mother sued the school because the school was helping the, I think it was a girl transitioning to a boy, and the school knew about it and they were helping her, without telling the parent. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the parent found out about it. I'm missing a lot of details here.
She sued
the school district, and she won
$100,000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are some observers who believe that that could be.
That'll stop some of that.
Yep.
That'll stop some of that. Go ahead, Steve.
All right, let's end here. 1 minute. Washington State, we got some troopers there that were pursuing some criminals. They chased him into a ravine. I want you to hear what happened. This is Cut 9.
They're down here. Yeah, there's two down in the ravine right now. Don't make us release our canine. In the creek.
Female, blonde hair, red pants, black hoodie, black and orange backpack.
Better stop. Over here. Hands behind your back. You're under arrest.
And it fooled them.
So you're saying that Scooby-Doo's chasing them down?
Scooby-Doo was chasing them down, and they didn't want the canine coming after them.
These are state police?
Yeah.
They fooled the folks running from them. Yeah. I don't know what they were charged with. By pretending that they had a canine.
Yeah.
Listen, the way those canines are, if a cop started pretending to bark, I thought there was one, I'd give myself up.
Well, they did.
They did?
They gave himself up, yeah.
Wonder what they thought when they got to the car.
Where's the dog?
Hey, where's the dog? You probably did that after you had him in handcuffs.
Hey,
they were laughing about it.
I can just say this really quickly. We filmed something for AFA years ago. We had local police bring a canine unit dog, and we filmed this dog barking at a closed closet. And I said, what would happen if I walked up and tried to pet the dog? He said, you'd lose a limb. He said, these are not pets.
Yeah, no.
They're serious law enforcement assets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Thank you for listening to Today's Issues. Keep listening to AFR.